Hello and welcome to Highly Questionable. We got Izzy Gutierrez. We got Bomani Jones. We got basketball. Basketball just ended. Basketball's back. Let's get started.
Should the rest of the AFC be worried after seeing Lamar Jackson last night?
One of the things that I love that's happened in sports in real time while we've been at this network, us covering this, is the evolution in basketball where you've seen the game has changed. And last night, you're watching a quarterback shootout between two quarterbacks who never would have been quarterbacks about 10 years ago for a variety of different reasons. So you got six-time executive of the year, Bill Polian, telling you that guy can't play that position in our league because his model for that is Peyton Manning. And you see that he wins the MVP of the league. And then last night, he showed you all the stuff that's been missing this year from that offense because a few people have caught up and made some changes and some adjustments, but also that team has been hurt this year. And while they're forcing him to throw outside the numbers, what you saw last night from him was a shootout against Baker Mayfield, who's been very good since week seven. And at the end of the game, when everyone thought he was going to run, when he comes in rescuing the team from an international pooping situation that was being accused on the internet, he comes in fourth and five, and instead of running, he could have gotten the first down, he wins the game with a throw. A nice moment for him to save the season. It was pretty cool. You should fear that, because if that's running loose in your secondary and throwing at times that it can run, it's something worth fearing.
Now, one thing to note, though, he didn't play particularly well up until that point, at least not through the air. Like, he was great on the ground, but the end is going to make the total game look a little better than it actually was. You ain't supposed to be afraid of what happened because somebody messed around and beat the Browns. Like, I understand that the Browns put that hurt on the Titans the week before, but that's the only win that they truly have to speak of, is that one over the Titans. What the Ravens look like is a team that'll probably find its way into the postseason. But once they get there, there's nobody for him to throw the ball to. Like, these big plays that we're talking about, what's impressive and amazing about Lamar on those plays is that was really some something out of nothing type of situation when he got it done. You're not going to be able to make something out of nothing in that way in the postseason. There's going to have to be more from the other dudes. But the problem is the other dudes just aren't that good.
Absolutely right. If they, the Ravens, are going to continue to win and beat other playoff teams, he's got to be that type of threat with his legs all the time. And, you know, Marquise Brown can't drop easy passes anymore. But I want to talk about this game in particular, because has anybody checked in on Trace McSorley? How is he doing? Because that guy went from absolute hero with a big third down throw to absolutely crumbling under the pressure, or just the game itself, and falling. And at that moment, you thought, wow, he could have been the hero, and now he's the GOAT. But then he was the hero again, because he was down just long enough to get Lamar out of the bathroom and back onto the field for fourth down. If he's not hurt there, he's got to take that fourth down, and they just go. I think Trace McSorley getting hurt is the one key to this game that nobody's really talking about.
Yeah, I got to say, now that you mentioned this, because we haven't really talked about the whole thing about Lamar running into the tunnel and then coming back, right? I don't know if he needed to go to the bathroom, but if you look at that moment when he gets to the door and he's like, hey, man, get out the way. Hey, get out the way. Been there, man. Been there. Yeah, and it wasn't because of leg cramps.
We all have.
It was not because of leg cramps. Everybody saw that and was like, oh, no, he's got to get to the bathroom. Yeah. And by the way, if you realized on the field that you needed to get to the bathroom and you managed to get all the way to the tunnel and to the bathroom before having a problem, he really might be the fastest quarterback that's ever played in the NFL. Or that's resolve. To be able to be like, I'm going to make it. I'm impressed.
But I don't think it was an international poop problem, because I believe Lamar Jackson to be the type of player with the playoffs on the line to just do it in his pants, to just be there on
the field,
be even more elusive when he's out there, you know, running for scores. I absolutely believe he would be that player.
Bomani does not salute this. He's not good with this. I will say, for the record, we've talked about it on this show before, Bill Belichick, who I do not think of as having a sense of humor, once gave special teamer Larry Izzo a game ball for successfully pooping on the sidelines without anyone seeing it. That's a thing that really happened. Not making it
up. Bomani isn't somebody we should go to this. He lies about peeing in the shower.
All I'm saying is this. It's two Americas. I don't think Lamar Jackson is in the poop in my pants America.
Really? Really? You're accusing white people of being poopers in the pants?
No. They wanted more? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that there are two Americas, and whatever side the divide is on, Lamar Jackson is not in the poop in your pants side. Call it a hunch.
How big of a deal was Zion's dominant preseason game last night?
I mean, he was 8 of 13 from the floor, 10 of 11 from the free throw line. We saw Zion moving the ball. He played 33 minutes. They put the hurt to the Heat, even though it's a preseason game. Look, man, that dude came back looking so much better than he did the last time we saw him. And this isn't about the part with the basketball. This is just physically, as though he had a reminder that he's going to have to be in better shape than he was before in order to get this done. And the thing that it struck me about Zion at Duke and in the NBA last year, you could see gradually as the year went on, him starting to get a whiff of the idea like, oh, I can dominate here too. He's got a coach that thinks he can dominate. We're in an era where a dude with his unique body who doesn't really have a position, it doesn't really matter because positions aren't really a thing like that anymore, right? If Stan Van Gundy can figure out what to do schematically to get the most out of him, we could see Zion be a dominant player as early as this season.
Well, the most important number on the box score was the 33. The 33 minutes, you get him on the floor for that long, and this being a preseason game, it obviously means he's ready for more, which is what we and he wants to see. The other number that blew me away was the 10 for 11 from the free throw line. If he stays consistent, 80% plus from the free throw line, then man, he's not going to be worried about sitting in the paint all day and getting fouled. He'll go to the line 20-30 times. I thought it was interesting that Stan Van Gundy used him some in pick and rolls and different ways to get him in the paint or be a playmaker and have all eyes on him, because while he is Shaq-like for his position and for his size, he does not have Shaq's size. So you can't just put him down there and expect him to dunk over everybody. What I thought is consistent with Zion and will be consistent throughout his career is that he dominates with his width. It's not that he's just going to finish over you. He will bump you a little bit and finish around you. And that's still going to be there even when he trims down a little bit, which, Dan, by the way, not to sort of segue this to you, but Luka Doncic is the guy we should be worried about this year when it comes to weight issues. He came back from this 3-week offseason like he spent the entire thing in a Pizza Hut.
It was a short offseason for him to have a little bit of jelly in the middle. I find it interesting that Stan Van Gundy, who is much happier when he's not coaching, has resumed the misery here, because the greatest treasure you could give a coach is a young person with this kind of potential. Alvin Gentry in this city with Anthony Davis was not able to parlay it into what this can be, because I tell you guys this right now, and it surprised me. Jason Tatum grew 2 inches in the last 6 months. Zion Williamson is not done physically growing. He's not, never mind his game, which has a lot of room to grow. He's not done physically growing. He's going to get stronger. If that dude is not injured, he is going to change the shape of basketball, because everything's been moving to the perimeter. Everything looks a little more like Bam Adebayo, and here comes this square in the paint, and what are you going to do about it?
Well, let me tell you this too. He spent a lot more time near the ground in this game than one would expect. And you got to wonder if somebody looked around and told him what my buddy Tom Haberstraw always says. You only got but so many jumps in your legs. No matter who you are, you might want to save some of them for later.
Coming up next on my son Stevie's show.
I know why this was put in the show. This was put in the show. Yes. Just so that we, yes, like ouch. Yes. It is going to go viral, but before we do that, I've got to show you Carlos Boozer, right? They've got that queued up. I'm sure they've got it queued up. What do we have here? Snowboarding. Let's see what happens.
Oh, no, you can't hesitate.
Oh! Are you okay?
Oh, that sound.
Highly Questionable is presented by Bullet Bourbon Frontier Whiskey. Highly awarded rye whiskey. Enjoy responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. Do you question if this Weber State player should have gotten teed up?
All right, before we do this, Izzy, how did you feel as a Gator lover that your season was thrown away 20 yards down the field with a shoe being hurled? Yes, okay, we don't need to hear from you. We got the opinion of both of these gentlemen. That's good enough.
I just got over that, Dan.
I feel like your season wouldn't have been ruined if he had just thrown it 4 or 5 yards. 20 yards, though, that's going to get a penalty. Let's see what happened here at Weber State.
It ends up back with the Wildcats stepping through, and Miller fouling again. Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
Dylan Jones just punched the referee completely
on accident.
I know why this was put in the show. This was put in the show. Yes. Just so that we – yes, like ouch. Yes. It is going to go viral, but before we do that, I've got to show you Carlos Boozer, right? They've got that queued up. I'm sure they've got it queued up because we've played it so much over the years.
Boozer,
In the NFL, that's 15 yards for illegal touching right there.
Good.
Yo, but I don't think we give the ref enough credit on that play. He kind of kept it moving. Old buddy in that Weber State game, understandably, it was like the world had ended. And honestly, that young man is lucky nobody called the cops, right? Like that, I would, if somebody had said, look, I think I've witnessed an assault, I would think that it was a bit of a grievous error. But at the same time, I mean,
you got to convict him.
Do you question if this takes away from Smokey Robinson's message?
Okay, I was very worried yesterday when I saw Smokey Robinson was trending on Twitter, but then was delighted. Now, you got to wait for it a second. This is very awkward. It cost someone $350 on Cameo. You got to wait for it here.
Worth
it. At the end. Totally worth it. Totally worth it.
But anyway, you're living in Vancouver now, and they wanted me to wish you happy Chinooka. I have no idea what Chinooka is, but happy Chinooka. Because they said so. Anyway, God bless you, babe, and enjoy Chinooka. Have a wonderful time.
Can I cut Smokey some slack? Can I try to cut Smokey some slack?
Yes, okay. Go ahead.
I'm sweating from laughing so hard.
You guys are from South Florida, where like Jewish imagery is a bit more ubiquitous. You know what it is, right? When I was a kid growing up, I had heard of Hanukkah, but it started with an H. Right.
So I was confusing.
Well into adulthood before I realized that C was silent. Right? Now, I do think at some point Smokey should have been like, huh, that looks a lot like Hanukkah. Right.
Yeah. But context I just clues, don't get right? the time of year.
Yeah. I just don't get the feeling, though, that Smokey was kicking it with a whole lot of people where the Hanukkah celebration come up. He has not reached a point in life to know that the C is silent. I didn't realize it was chutzpah until like 4 years ago.
But he says it in such a pleasant voice. I think we should change the name of the holiday. I mean, it's, I can hear that all, listen to that all day long.
He's very sweet. But I would say, Bomani, when you say he hasn't reached a place in life, he's 80. 8 decades. You got to figure out after 8 decades that C ain't silent. Because I'm with you. When I saw the spelling for the first time, I was also well into my adulthood. But that's 8 decades. That's a lot of decades.
I feel you. I feel you. I'm just asking you, when's the last time somebody invited Smokey to come to their Hanukkah party?
Do you question if this was avoidable?
One of the things that we always like to do when we're checking out the time of season when you find Chinooka is winter snow calamities. What do we have here? Snowboarding. Let's see what happens.
Oh, no, you can't hesitate.
Oh! Are you okay?
Oh, that sound.
Yo, run this back, because like, I don't mean to pile on to the dude, but we all have to say this young man apparently did not make good grades in math or science. Mm-hmm. Like, he should have known before anybody else did that he had no chance of actually. He slowed down when he. No, you need more speed, man.
It's like he wanted to use it as a pommel horse and flip off of it as opposed to clearing it. It doesn't make any sense.
One more time, please, because I just want to leave with the awkward sadness of all of us shuffling away, because at the end of that sound, that man's head is not moving at all, right there.
Are you okay?
Are you okay? Are you okay?
Dan, you got to admit it's a little late in your journey to be worried about these people being injured in these skiing accidents. We got plenty. We've done a lot of these.
That's true.
Wow. What? Look at that's a 10 right
sure
there.
That person's okay? Oh, he's fine. That was soft.
He might still be there.
Oh, yes. Yes. That's actually a happy ending. Oh, the cat.
Oh.
Here we go. Listen to it. The
that's
baby
not even
crunching
a skiing
the ice
experience.
Never gets old. It never gets old.
That is not a skiing experience. Say, Izzy wants us to respect the skiing experience when there was a cat in the middle of that, a fat cat jumping off a car.
Coming up next on my son's TV show.
This is the curious part with PJ Tucker. Does it spill over to the locker room with other veterans who maybe want to win or get out? It's either all going to blow up in Harden's face and Houston's face, or maybe if he buys in again, it'll work out.
No, that's not what's going to end up happening there.
You know, I didn't make it from
the best circumstances. I made it because my family had a foundation and taught me the right things of how to live a principle-led life. So having that in basketball and my art, you know, it's just finding a balance.
Highly Questionable is presented by Bullet Bourbon Frontier Whiskey. Highly awarded rye whiskey. Enjoy responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. Tonight at 8 p.m., Spurs and Rockets.
A lot of drama around James Harden. He is ostensibly going to be out there tonight. But let's check in with P.J. Tucker here. P.J. Tucker wants a contract extension. What is P.J. Tucker talking about here? What is he trying to say underneath the surface?
P.J., you obviously and understandably want a contract extension. If that does not happen, how would you feel about being with the Rockets this season?
I do my job. I just do my job.
Okay, that is not great sound. Is he talking about James Harden there? What was with the long pause? Was he not expecting the question? I don't know. I'm rubbing together two sticks trying to see if there's a flame here. Izzy, are you intrigued?
Well, yes, I'm very intrigued. I'm fascinated by this for a couple of reasons. One, it's what will James Harden do on the floor? Because I seem to remember, you know, a Kobe Bryant who would get frustrated with his team and then just like not take any shots for a half or do something like that just to sort of make a point. He says he wants to play a different style of game. Okay, we're going to see that. But he also wants to get traded. So what exactly are we going to see? And then this is the curious part with PJ Tucker. Does it spill over to the locker room with other veterans who maybe want to win or get out? It's either all going to blow up in Harden's face and Houston's face, or maybe if he buys in again, it'll work out.
No, that's not what's going to end up happening there. Bomani, are you intrigued?
I am intrigued. I don't really think he's talking about James Harden. He's just talking about what life in the NBA is like for PJ Tucker. PJ Tucker has no choice but to do his job. The irony of it is, though, James Harden's so mad because he wants to leave. PJ Tucker's so mad because he wants to stay.
In Brooklyn, Nets practice and media availability.
The media boycott of Kyrie Irving lasted about 4 seconds, $25,000 fine for him, $25,000 fine for the team. So now he is talking to the pawns in the audience. He says he was not talking about journalists when he referenced that he does not talk to pawns. What is he saying now?
Like I said, the focus is on what's going on in the task here, you know, my job. And I wanted to make sure that that was clear. There are no distractions. Nothing about dispelling anything, nothing about going back and forth, knowing about calling out one person or another, not even refer to you guys as pawns, you know what I mean, or media. It's just really how I felt about the mistreatment of certain artists when we get to a certain platform, of when we make decisions within our lives to have full control and ownership. You know, we go through the rigorous season, we do everything we're asked to do, you know, and we want to perform in a secure and protected space. And if I can't have my voice protected on this platform where I offer myself and my art, just inviting everyone to it because this is what I've been blessed to do. You know, I didn't make it from the best circumstances. I made it because my family had a foundation and taught me the right things of how to live a principle-led life. So having that in basketball and my art, you know, it's just finding a balance.
Tonight on ABC.
No, I recognize that sound of that
the
voice.
The Bachelorette!
No, get out of here!
I really hope I make a good impression.
Tonight, Tayshia faces the families.
I'm still a big skeptic.
How serious is this?
You've been married before.
You didn't answer the question.
It's like a what?
The Bachelorette, tonight on ABC.
Oh, I don't know what to do with. I mean, I'm not. I feel like the show is on every day. Every time I'm on the show, we do this segment. Every time I'm flicking through the channels, it looks like The Bachelorette is on. Never watched it, but it's on all the time. It must be popular.
Bomani, what about you?
You're not going to tell me that all them parents is okay with the idea of her. That's just not it. Come on, man. Like, let's make this a whole guess who's coming to dinner situation. Then I would watch that. I would watch that. All these parents acting like they're cool with this. Not fooling me.
Bomani Jones is a young person. He is still a young person, but he just made a Guess Who's Coming to Dinner reference. Sidney Poitier. Thanks to Izzy Gutierrez and The Right Time with Bomani Jones. Check it out.
We've had a dearth of good movies about interracial love, Dan.